Tonight, we're going to continue with our series, Heart to Serve. We started this before spring break, and I know spring break is kind of this really long time. Some of you were out of school, some were not. Some of you never are in school because you're homeschooled. Woo-hoo! And so, or are always in school, depending on how you look at it. But we're going to continue this idea. We had talked about how God is on mission to reclaim worshipers in the world, and he calls us to join him on mission. And throughout our spring break blitz, if you were here for that, how many of you were here? Wasn't that awesome? Pretty cool. Super legit, nail guns and stuff, all right, always fun. Archery tag, we like shot each other with arrows. Most of us survived. Anyone that you were like, where is so-and-so? We had to leave them behind, but so we had a good time. It was really fun, but we talked about the idea that God is on a mission to restore, and that he works to restore us individually, right? Because, like, we're sinners, we've rebelled against God, and God is working to change us and restore us and our relationship with him. He also is on mission to restore others, right? And so we get to join him in this mission to restore others into a relationship with God, so we tell them about the good news, and we help them, and we point them toward God with our actions. And then he's also at work to ultimately one day restore all of creation. And the Bible talks about how at the end, God is going to restore all of creation and make a new heaven and new earth. And he's going to make all of these things that have been corrupted and messed up because of sin, he's going to make them new. And he's going to make it right. So we talked about that over spring break. Tonight, we're going to talk about an idea that kind of gets a little closer to home than just, okay, God's on this huge mission. We're going to talk about this. God cares about the vulnerable, okay? That's your first blank in your notes. God cares about the vulnerable. Now, what does that word vulnerable mean? Okay, people who don't know him, but people who will easily go with something, okay? Weak, that's a good point, yeah? Yeah, I mean, that is true, but when you think about a vulnerability, okay, what does that bring up any, like, images in your mind of, like, a weakness almost, like Micah was saying? Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So if you've got a line of men in an old war with shields, and then you've got one guy that's just out there in some blue jeans or something, that is the vulnerable person. That's the vulnerable place in the entire army, really, is this guy who has no armor. And so a vulnerability is either a weakness or a defenselessness that someone has, something that makes them easily attacked or in a position where they are unable to take care of themselves how most of us would be able to take care of ourselves. So we're going to talk about who some of those people are as well as God's heart for them, okay? Because one of the cool things is if we ever get in the place in our life where we realize I am so weak, I'm so defenseless, there's nothing I can do to better this situation right now, I'm completely at someone else's mercy, it's great to know that God is for us in those moments. It's great to know that God looks for those people and he tends to use those people throughout history to bring about his purposes and that he really cares about those people. You know, when Jesus came to earth, he didn't go and usually spend a lot of time with people who were in high places of authority and military leaders or things like that. A lot of times he was around people who were vulnerable, people who were defenseless, people who had great need. And so we're going to talk about that because Jesus displays for us a great example of someone who cares for these people. And since God cares for these people, he displays that through the life of Christ. He also calls us to care for those people, okay? So there's a great quote. Martin Luther King Jr., you guys know who he is, right?
No.
You don't know who Martin Luther King Jr. is.
I had a dream.
Are you? Yeah, all right. This is the famous son, okay? He says this, the ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by the good people. Okay? This idea is that it's terrible when people do things that are wrong, but it's worse when people know that something is wrong and they don't do anything about it. That's rough, right? What's up, Blake? Who was he? That's right. Yep. Okay. So we're going to talk about three different groups of people, and we're going to look at some scripture tonight of places where God recognizes these people and calls us to take care of them. So the first one is widows and orphans. Okay, this is your first blank, widows and orphans. Okay, you probably know what these words mean, right? A widow is a lady who has lost her husband, okay? And we call it when a man loses his wife, a widower, okay? So that is the man. Now, usually, even though it's tragic when a man loses his wife, he's able to, throughout history, he's been able to continue to support himself. Widows throughout much of history were women who had married someone, and then, I mean, you were completely dependent on your parents until the time you were married. When you were married, you were completely dependent on that other person, that man, to bring the income, to work the fields, to shepherd the flock, whatever the case was. And so for a woman to lose her husband was, I mean, it was a terrible thing, both from her love for that husband, but also just because she would have basically no income from that point forward, unless she was able to somehow do something herself, and usually they weren't allowed to work in these places. Like, America has got it pretty good because we figured out some of these things that were problems throughout history when we looked at scripture and we recognized these things. But God calls us to take care of widows, these women who are completely unable to take care of themselves. And often they're older ladies, right, who need help. And so, yes? Exactly. Okay. So one of the reasons during spring break, while we did the Blitz, we took care of a house for a lady who was a widow, okay? Her husband had passed away. She had a son who had some mental challenges, and so she was a caretaker for him, and she was trying to do the best she could, but her house had several things that needed to be worked on, and she was not able to financially take care of those things, as well as physically to carry out the task to take care of the home. So, like, over the course of time, everyone's home, like, your roof will need to be replaced at some point because they just deteriorate over time. And so we were able to do that. And that's part of why we really invested in that home and for those people, is because we understood that God has called us to help take care of widows. We're going to look at some scripture in a minute. The other category here is orphans, okay? And orphans are children who have lost their parents. And this could be because a parent has given them up for adoption for some reason, or because their parents have passed away, or because of some kind of separation that they find themselves as not an adult, still a child, but unable, they don't have parents who are able to take care of them. And so sometimes this falls to a grandparent. Sometimes it is an orphanage that takes care of these children. Sometimes another family will adopt these kids. And so scripture that we're going to look at, God really has a heart for these people, these widows and these orphans, because they are in these places where they are not able at the time to generally take care of themselves. Okay, and Paul talks a little bit about, like, if a widow is able to take care of herself, like, that's great. Let her do that so that your focus can be on those who can't take care of themselves. And if they're still young and they want to marry again, great. You know, that's great. But we're to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. So we're going to look at a passage of scripture. So we're going to do a sword drill right here, and I'll show you how this works. Take out your Bible. Okay, you're going to have yours closed. I'm going to leave mine open right now. You put one hand on the bottom, one hand on the top. Your thumbs and everything need to be on the top and bottom. Don't hold it like that. Don't hold it like that. Do it really cool like this. There you go. No, not like that. All right, so hold it. I'm going to give you the reference, and when I say go, you open. Not as soon as you start hearing the name of the book and stuff, okay? When I say go, you can move. Top and bottom. All right, here we go. James 1:27, go. Let me hear it. 27. Lucy has it. Read it nice and loud. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Lucy had it. Let me hear it. All right. Very good. Way to go, Lucy. All right. It says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, he's not just saying, go visit them and be like, hey, what's up? Let's play a game, hang out. All right, that's great. But what he's saying is when they would go, they would actually go and take care of these people. They would go and assist them in things they needed around the house. They would bring them food. They would go and spend time, because if you don't have family, if you are by yourself, what tends to happen? You get, there you go, the second one. Lonely, okay, depressed, right? What? Cat lady, yeah. You want someone to hang out with, right? So we are to go and to visit these people and to take care of them, right? To give them aid and help them. All right, second passage. Hand on top and bottom, ready to go. Psalm 146:9, go. Don't cheat. 146:9. Very good. All right. Here it is. It says, the Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Bless you, whoever that was. All right. So let's break that down a little bit here. It says, the Lord watches over the sojourners. What is a sojourner? Anyone? Not Sacagawea. That was someone else. What did you say? A person. It is a person. That is true. Okay. What is this? There you go. Okay. Someone who journeys. They travel. They're from a foreign place. Okay. Throughout the Old Testament, Jesus, or really God, works to teach the Israelites that when there are people from foreign lands that are traveling through and they're They're coming through the land. Guess what? You are to take care of them. You are to treat them well. There was actually special provisions within the law to help these people to find the truth, to understand who God is. If you've never seen before on a map, I wish I had been able to put this in, on a map of the Middle East, you've got Israel in this really cool strategic place. And God had sent Abraham there, and then later on, he sends Moses with the children of Israel there, and they go and live there. Well, guess what? Israel is right on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It's also right between, if you wanted to go from Europe to Africa by land, that would be the way that you would go, is right through Israel. Or if you wanted to go from Africa to Asia, or from Asia to Africa, or any of these kinds of things, there are all kinds of trade routes that went through lands that were occupied by Israel, especially during the time when King David was in charge of the country. They had a huge amount of land, and there were all these trade routes that came through it. Well, guess what? God says they were supposed to be an example to all the nations. They were supposed to be shedding light on how people were to be able to know who God is. And so he made special provisions for when people were traveling on these routes through their land. Guess what? You're supposed to take care of them. You are supposed to care for them. Back in this day, you got to remember, they didn't have like MapQuest or Google Maps or Yelp or things like that, Airbnb. They didn't have any of that. They couldn't just go on Google and say, find a hotel with 3 stars in Damascus, okay? They would have to actually, are you listening? Yeah, okay. So they would have to just travel, and if they had been a certain way before, they might know some places to stay, but you get into tough times like Mary and Joseph did when Jesus was going to be born, right? There was a lot of travel going on. All these people are moving to the places where their family heritage was. They're in Bethlehem. And what would typically happen is if you went to a place where you had family, you would go and stay with those family members, okay? And that would be simple. Well, guess what? If your entire extended family for like 1,000 years is all trying to stay in the same town, everybody who's lived there before this, they're filled up, okay? And so they get there, and it's not that, like, nobody cared about them. It's that, like, literally there's no room anymore for them anywhere to stay. And so sometimes they would have, like, a hotel, an inn that you could go and stay at if you didn't have any family or something like that. Well, even that place is filled. And so Mary and Joseph go and they seek out shelter, and God provides shelter for them in this stable area. And that's where Jesus comes into the world, is in this very simple, kind of probably gross, stable barn cave kind of place where they would keep animals because there was a feeding trough there called a manger. But you know what? God provided for them. He cares about those people because they are in a place where they are, what was the first fill in the blank? No. The first one. Vulnerable. Okay? They're vulnerable. If you're exposed to everything out in the elements, you are extremely vulnerable, and God cares for those people. So he makes special provision in these couple passages. He also, remember, looks again and talks about the widow and the fatherless. When he's talking about fatherless, is because even if they had a mother, if they didn't have a father, there was no income for the family. There was no protection from any kind of attack or someone who would come along and try to take advantage of someone. And so they were in a bad spot, even if they still had a mother but didn't have a father. And God says, I am a father to the fatherless. I care for these people and desire for them to be taken care of. So we as the church get to come alongside of him in taking care of them. All right, one more passage on this topic. So get ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you as ready as SpongeBob? There you go. All right. Deuteronomy 10:18. Go. Deuteronomy. Noise. Awesome. Nice. Very nice. All right. He executes justice for the fatherless. Check that out, guys. Now, justice. What? They're cheating. No cheating. Come on. Hey, even if he. All right, no like marking pages somehow or putting a piece of paper in. I mean, that's cheap. Come on, do it right. All right, he executes justice for the fatherless. What he's saying here is that God will take care of justice being served for those who are in this place of vulnerability. So one, just because someone can be taken advantage of, and you can get away with something, or someone else can get away with taking advantage of you maybe, doesn't mean that then we get to carry out the justice all the time and just go and be like, avenge them, and go, you know. No, God says that he carries out justice, and so he places in the world authorities who are able to carry out justice. He places people who have the job of taking care of these people, giving them a safe place, as well as, holding accountable those who do the wrong thing. And then again, he mentions, and the widow, and loves the sojourner. So those same people we're seeing over and over again in Scripture, God cares for them. He desires for us to care for them. So how can we do that, maybe? Well, one is through things like Spring Break Blitz. Another idea is through organizations like Compassion International, okay? You may have heard of them before. If you went to Winter Jam, they talked about Holt International, which is kind of a similar company. And basically what they do is you get to help pay for the provisions that need to be made for a child in a foreign country who's living in poverty, okay? So basically, a lot of times, these kids have families that maybe have lots of kids and they can't provide for all of them, or something happened in their life where they're not able to take care of themselves, or they're an orphan a lot of times. And so Compassion works with people who live there in these places and helps to provide food, clean water, clothing, safety and security, education, medical needs, all of these things, and helps provide them and helps to connect them with people here in the States and in other places where it can be afforded to support kids who are in places of vulnerability. And so it's a great way. Our church works to serve around the world. Not directly through Compassion, although I know we have a lot of church members who support people through Compassion, but we work with others who are directly serving and caring for orphans, which is pretty awesome. And so when we give toward the church, part of that is going to work toward taking care of these kids. All right, second point for us. God cares about the sick and excluded. The sick and excluded. Now, excluded means that someone is left out, right? Or pushed out a lot of times. We're going to look at a neat story in Matthew where Jesus ministers to someone who is both sick and excluded, okay? He was a guy, I don't think know his name anywhere in Scripture, but he was defined by a disease that he had. Okay, it was called leprosy, and it's still a thing nowadays. It's not something super common because the word typically refers to several different kinds of diseases, but it would be some kind of a disease of the skin that would spread. And it would spread if, you know, I came up and we shook hands. Come on, I've got leprosy. It'll be fine, all right? And then you're like, what? And then, exactly. That would happen. And so if I have leprosy, I touch him, well, he might have leprosy now. And then even his family who loves him would be like, look, we can't have you come home and infect all of us. You got to go live in what was called a leper colony. And so these people who had similar things going on would go and live together, or they would just be kicked out of town because nobody wanted to be around them. And so a lot of times they would just have to live out in the wilderness. Yet again, this is what was our first blank? Someone who is vulnerable. They are left out. They are defenseless. They're, in this case, excluded in how they're left out. They may, okay? So we're going to look at a passage. Hand on top and bottom. Get ready. Maybe. And so help me, if you cheat, I pray that you get leprosy? Question mark? So don't cheat, all right? You can prevent your own leprosy right here, possibly. Okay, Matthew 8, 1 through 4, go. Go, go, go. Matthew 8, 1 through 4. All right, listen up, Hannah's going to read it for us. 1 through 4. Hannah found it. All right, listen up, guys. Listen up or read along. Hey, Blake, Hannah's reading it. All right, awesome. So in this passage, this man comes to Jesus because he desires for Jesus to heal him. He says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He placed faith in Christ at that moment. He trusted that Jesus had the power to be able to heal this disease that he had suffered from, probably for years, okay? And so he trusted, and Jesus said, I will, be clean. And he was clean, like that, boom. Now that's a pretty cool story, but there's some great principles for us to pull out of this passage and to think about. One of them is that when we have the power to be able to do something for someone, you know, it's within our ability, and it's for their good and for God's glory, guess what? We should probably do that, right? We should probably do those things that give God glory, that help someone else, that show them that they have value. Can you imagine if you had been left out of things, pushed out of things even? Not physically, maybe with hands, but maybe with someone's walking stick. They like pushed you out and wanted you to stay away because they knew you had some terrible disease. It's like going back to kindergarten with cooties, but to the extreme, guys. Imagine like cooties were for real, and everyone believed in it and knew that you had them and didn't want them, okay? And so they would keep you away. They would go run and grab a pool stick and be like, get away from me or I will break this over your face, okay? Yeah, they would yell that, right? Yeah, they would yell that at people. They would say, unclean. And they would, like, call this out on someone and be like, that guy's unclean. Exactly. And so they would have that, I mean, all the time. It wasn't like, well, when you get away from school, people stop bullying you. It's like everywhere you went, people knew you had this problem, and they called you out on it and made everyone else aware of it. And then you hear about this guy who may be able to heal you. You go, and you tell him that you believe, and you ask him to do this for you. And he says, be clean. And boom, you're healed. How awesome would that be? One, that he even like came close to you at all and listened to you at all and didn't just like run away yelling that you were unclean. But two, that he healed you and that all that stuff that you've been having to deal with in your life is now like fixed. And now you can go and present yourself to the priest as clean and be like officially recognized before everyone that I'm no longer that old person. That's a pretty cool thing, right? I mean, how cool is it that Jesus works and he shows us that he cares about these people, those who are sick, those who are pushed out and left out of society. Now, you probably don't get to walk around in Florence or Darlington or surrounding areas and get to come across people who have leprosy very often. If you've ever done that, let's have a conversation because you probably haven't, and I would be really interested to hear about your experience. But here's the thing. We have other things that we use as things that we think are worthy of pushing someone out of our group of friends or out of the social circle. People that when they're not, if they're not just like us and we don't like them exactly like us, guess what? You can go do your own thing somewhere else and we will push you out of this group right here. And you guys, if we ever see that here, it's going to be a problem. We're going to fix it. You guys hear me? Because some of you think I'm talking about somebody else when I'm actually talking about you. This place right here should be the most welcoming, loving, caring, inclusive, bring people, show them the love of Christ place that someone comes to throughout their entire life. We've got to be careful. We've got to bring people in. We've got to invite people to come here, and then we've got to invite people to play a game with us, to sit with us, to eat with us, to ask them about how their day was going instead of talking about how your day was all day long. Okay? We have got to take care of other people the way that Jesus was so careful to take care of others and how he displayed his love for them. Our third group of people is the poor and desperate. The poor and desperate. Now, I know when we often, hold on, Micah, I'll get back to you. When we often think about people who are poor, okay, we'll think about someone who's maybe sitting on the side of the road with a sign asking for money. Okay, that's what immediately jumps into my mind. Just is. Okay? And sometimes our mind can try to say, well, there's those people who do that throughout the day, and then they go home and they've got really nice houses and cool cars and stuff, and they just put on this show for people, and then they rake in the money, and they are all set, really, and it's all just a scheme. They're really stealing. Okay. Definitely possible. It does happen sometimes. You may have seen it on YouTube where people catch them in the act and stuff like that. All right. I understand that. And we, you know, need to have good wisdom in giving. One of the great things about this is if that's a legitimate concern that we have, okay, and particularly adults, we need to help with this with our own kids and with kids that we know. Because if y'all just go up to some random stranger and like whip out your wallet and you're going to give them money, that is probably not the most safe situation, all right? So we do need to use discernment. But we have opportunities where we know that there are people in need, genuine need, not like I need a PlayStation 4 or I need a cool car one day or I need great shoes that cost like $300. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who don't have any other shoes and so that they just go with what they have. We know people who are in situations like that. And when God has blessed us, we're to use that to be generous toward others. Like I talked about with the people that we can support through organizations like Compassion and there are church works to serve. Okay, we can take care of people who are in poverty and we don't have to worry about whether or not they're just putting on a show for us because we continue to actually have a relationship with them. Okay? If you actually, and I'm not talking about dating, okay? I'm talking about having a friendship and knowing someone, knowing who they are, inviting them over to your house, going over to their house, hanging out together, knowing what's going on in their life as a whole. And it's not just a, I'll throw a $5 bill at this guy that I saw on the side of the road. Okay, we can be generous there, but we also know of these situations where we're not wondering if the guy's going to pull a knife on us. We know that they are in actual need. They may be people that you go to school with, people that live in your neighborhood, or someone that you know through a family member or a friend. We know situations where people have genuine need, and God calls us to serve those people. We're going to look at one last passage, so get ready. Close your Bible up. Have it ready. James 2, 14 through 16. Go. New. Almost the end. 2:14 through 16. All right, listen up for Bella. She's going to read it for us. Awesome, thank you. So consider this. If we say we are believers, that we are Christians, Christ followers, however you kind of classify yourself, you identify yourself with Jesus Christ. You say that you have faith in him and that you trust him with your life. James is saying, what good is it to say that if then you see a need, and he lists a few things here, right? He says, if you see someone who is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, you know, seeing these things are genuine needs someone has in their life. Are you guys focused up here? Okay, it doesn't look like it. All right. If you see someone who has these genuine needs in their life, and you are like, have a nice day. And that's like it? You don't do anything? What good is calling yourself a believer? You don't seem to have any evidence in your life of the love of God working to move you toward loving someone else. Micah? Mm-hmm. Keep going. That's a nice guy. Kind of a random story, though. All right. Okay. Right. So part of that is what I'm talking about with people that you know that you go to school with, that you just know their house is really run down. Their parents are going through a hard time. Like, I don't know if I've shared this with you guys before. My dad, when I was in like 8th and 9th grade, he lost his job and was not able to get another job for over 2 years. Okay? That's a long time when you've got, you know, cars that you're still having to drive places, to, you know, try and interview somewhere. You still have bills for your house. You still got to eat food, all of those things. And so our family was in a genuine need at that time. Now, we still had clothes that were not worn out in 2 years of time, kind of thing. But I was growing. And so I did have need for some other clothes because the clothes I had weren't fitting anymore or whatever. And so people helped and gave. And they were like, hey, I know that Scott's growing up. He needs some new clothes that could fit. My son is 15. We were going through his clothes, and these don't fit anymore. Thought they would be great for you guys to check out. That was a simple act of kindness that really helped us out, okay? And that's where I'm saying, if you have a relationship where you actually know someone else and you kind of know what's going on in their life, then you get some perspective in, rather than when we only consider poor people or people who are in need to be the guy on the street corner or someone in some third world country or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. 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 So that's something I would encourage you at that time, maybe talk with your parent, because one, it's not good for you when you're at a stoplight to just like jump out the car and okay, but it is an opportunity if you can to say, hey mom, dad, could we like pull over back there and go talk to that guy and see what's going on in his life? I mean, what if we took the time to get to know someone, what their name is, and what is going on in their life, and then we could say, hey, let me pray for you right now. And then since, you know, it seems like you're actually needing food, for instance, let's go over to Chick-fil-A and do that or something. So talk with your parents maybe in that situation. That may be a good way. Also, good ways are to be able to, if, you know, they already have Chick-fil-A because somebody else bought it for them or something like that, maybe refer them to some of the places around town that can really help someone long term. Because it's great for us to give someone something for a minute, you know, that's going to help them through the next 3 hours, 5 hours, whatever. But really long term, if we can help someone to see what they need to do with their life to help them out. And really, I mean, the biggest need is to point them toward Christ, right? Like, that's the thing. Even if you live to be 150 and you never knew Jesus, guess what? The rest of eternity is going to be rough, all right? It's going to be real bad. So we need to point them toward Christ so that their life has purpose, so that they're following him, but we also have to kind of meet them there where they have needs. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And there's different things depending on the person. But it's a conversation, you know, talk with your parents, allow them to kind of shepherd you as the leader of your house. But also as you become an adult one day, that may be something that you, God really develops a heart that you have for people in need, and that you can begin to directly serve people in need like that. Olivia? Yep. Here's the thing, though. Even with that, you know, we can kind of feel like, well, somebody ought to do what we want them to do. Really, God's calling for us to have the right heart in giving in that situation. Even if, you know, we do need to use wisdom, don't just, you know, throw $100 at somebody and be like, go have a fun time and do whatever you want and stuff like that. Like, there's good wisdom in doing some of those things of directly buying the gas someone says that they need to be able to go to work, or getting food and groceries for somebody who's in need. Those are great things. But ultimately, even if somebody does something stupid like that, where, right. Ultimately, though, God doesn't want, God wants to take care of our heart. He's got plenty of money, you know. Yep. Micah? Then we're going to keep moving in just a second. A lot of times, so in the biblical times, shepherds were seen as like the lowest class of people, usually above like people who had diseases and things like that. So, I mean, it was like they were really low. It's how a lot of people treat like a skilled labor versus like white collar jobs or stuff like that. Okay, we gotta keep moving though. Okay, I'm sorry guys. So we've had these three different groups of people. We're going to talk about some in our journey groups this week as we get to kind of think about some more. I want you to be thinking about who are the people God has already placed in your life that you can be serving. What are the ways that God can work through you to show them love, whether it's financially, whether it's just through, like Jesus caring to talk about or talk to that guy who had the leprosy, and just being a friend and including someone. Guys, we could do a lot better job of this here, all right? Myself included, right? We can do a better job of bringing people into what we're doing, being excited when we see somebody, all right? Like, don't you get excited when someone else seems excited to see you? Like, isn't that a good feeling? Shouldn't we do that for, like, everyone else? Like, if we were all like, Lauren's here, woo! Like, okay, Lauren may not like that particularly, just due to, you know, kind of her personality is more like having close friends or something like that. But Mariah, what up? Okay, maybe Mariah would like it more. I don't know. But we can be excited about somebody being here and talking with them and including them. Any of these things at school, you can do the same thing. In your neighborhood, you can do the same thing. Okay? Be a friend to the people who are around you. You are an ambassador, like we talked about last week at Blitz. You represent Christ to the people around you in life. So what kind of representation are you giving? Are you showing that you care for the same things that God says that he cares about? Or are we too distracted with other things that we don't care about people, okay? So tonight, I want you to look at your student guide. Open it up. Okay, there are five questions inside. Okay, five questions. We're going to talk about these in our journey groups this week. We do have a little bit of time tonight, so what I'd like us to do is we are going to talk about the second question, okay? The second question, which has to do with a time in your life where you were able to help someone. I believe that was the second one, right? Where you were able to help someone? Yes. Okay. I was confused with that one and maybe the third one. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the second one. You can think about a time where you were able to help someone in need and then kind of work from there to talk about what you can do in the future to also be a good representation for Christ. All right, so let's break into our usual groups. Mr. Rob, you can take 7th grade guys. I'll have 8th grade guys. Miss Aileen will take 8th grade girls. Miss Jane and Miss Megan can take 7th grade girls. Awesome. And break.